Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes, streaming on Hulu.
Howard Eskin joins us here live from Philadelphia. Of course, he is a Philadelphia legend. That's what they tell us, Howard. You're like the mayor out there when it comes to sports talk radio. Thanks for joining us again here in the Bay Area. Bonte Hill, Matt Steinman, Stereo to Guru Johnson, and we're talking some baseball here. Gabe Kapler. We're about to reintroduce ourselves to Gabe Kapler. Howard, what are we getting into with Gabe Kapler?
Well, let me just first tell you, I'm bigger than the mayor here. The mayor is a bozo. But other than that, you find a lot of those guys around the country. But what can I tell you about Gabe Kapler? Well, where do I start? All right, I'm going to start with some nice things. And the nice thing is that he really is a good guy. He's a good guy. And he cares, but as a manager, unless he's learned something or he gets rid of his computer and all his nonsense statistics, and somebody asked him about XFIT. It's the most bogus, ridiculous thing I've ever heard when he started rolling out there that one time. You guys don't even know what XFIT, and the people that I'm sure are listening have no idea what XFIT is.
What is it?
Do you know what XFIT is?
No.
Okay.
Let us know.
You can be a relief pitcher. I mean, the Phillies had blew three games in a row one time, and it was the bullpen that blew it up. But they didn't give up any home runs. It's basically a pitcher, assuming there's no defense in the field, there's nobody out in the field. It's ridiculous. Okay, if you don't give up a home run, and you don't walk anybody, and you can give up five runs in two innings, your XFIP will improve. You like that? You like that, analogy? I said, Gabe, wait a minute. I said, yeah, our XFIP is third in the National League. I said, what the hell is XFIP? So he has a little rundown of it. What the hell is XFIP? So he just tells me how they're third in the National League. I said, Gabe, I just saw your bullpen blow three leads in 3 days. And you're going to tell me it got better? It's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. He is so locked in to his computer. If you took away his computer, as probably 80% of the general managers in baseball, if you took away their computers, they wouldn't know what to do, because they can't tell you if a player is good or bad just by watching the guy. They have to look at their computer. So if he gets away from that and he's not with all these numbers and this pitcher is good against this pitcher, there were situations. He wouldn't walk Freddie Freeman, who one of the best hitters and clutch hitters in the National League, with first base open. So he ended up knocking in two runs because the stats said that Freddie Freeman, in the situation he was in, was not good. Well, why do you want to put him in that? So to answer your question, I'm trying to be nice because the guy is a good guy, and I got along with Gabe. We had our disagreements, and we had some serious disagreements publicly. But the reality is, he lives on the computer rather than on the feel for the game. If you use both, I'm okay. So he's an interesting guy, but I don't know that he's, unless he's learned, Well, a lot. I don't know if he's a good manager.
Well, the Giants GM is Farhan Zaidi. Used to work under Billy Beane. The stereotype or the perception of him is he's an analytics guy, and already out here before Kapler's managed one game, Howard, most people are thinking that the GM's going to set the lineup and the GM's going to make some decisions. So how do you think anything would change in that situation?
Well, I don't think the GM set the lineup or the GM made those decisions. What I do believe is when and Matt Klentak, the general manager of the Phillies, was the same way. He hired Gabe Kapler. Heim Bloom was interviewed at the same time as Matt Klentak. And yet the Phillies chose Matt Klentak, and Heim Bloom is brilliant. Look what he did with Tampa. But Matt Klentak loved Gabe Kapler basically because he threw out all those analytics numbers. Gabe is well prepared when it comes to those kind of things. And your guy out there sounds like it's the same way. They all live on the same page, so they're going to come up with the same lineups. Did they discuss players? I'm sure they do. I can't believe. But Gabe would let him do it. If that's going to be the case, then it is a complete joke. But they live in the same world, this cyberspace world of nonsense. Analytics has ruined and continues to ruin the game of baseball. All you care about is home runs and walks. If you strike out, no problem. Now, why would you want to move a runner? I talked to Pete Rose last week, who obviously understands the game. And we're talking about you could get the first two guys on, then not get a base hit and score a run in the previous world of baseball just by hitting behind the runners. Where now all guys try to do is hit home runs and walk. And it's just not the same. And Gabe Kapler lives in that world. I wouldn't be surprised if we let the general manager make the lineup at all. But Gabe's thinking along the same lines. Again, I feel compassion for him because of his kindness. And he is a kind guy. I think he's too soft on players. I think he wants to kind of be their friend, and good managers can be both. Friendly to them, but you got to have a sense of discipline. And where do you hear his news conferences? You probably already heard him, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
The introductory presser was all about what he did with the Dodgers in 2015. I don't think he got a single baseball question, Howard, in the first 35 minutes of his introductory press conference back in November.
Well, yeah, because of what happened with the Dodgers with the guy that's there. You know, there was cover-up there, allegedly a cover-up there. And he's going to have to live with that. But in San Francisco, it's a different mentality. I don't think they're going to put up with the news conferences. He's got to be honest once in a while. He would tell you how hard. I think back to these times, 15-inning game, and he's trying to tell me every guy was on the top step of the dugout, and they were so into the game. You know what? They just wanted to get the hell out of there. Really, they just wanted to get there. They wanted to win the game. Everybody wants to win the game. But don't tell me how mentally tough your players are when you see the players not do the right things, when you see them make mistakes fundamentally, when you see them run at the wrong times. But he's defensive of his players because he's just, I guess, worried that they'll bail out on, which other managers do, but he's got to have a better feel for the game. Now, what I don't understand, he played in the league, 12 years? He wasn't a great player, but he was good enough to be around for 12 years. So he should have a better feel for the game. He will be, and after a while, you're going to get tired of his post-game news conferences. I mean, those pregame things you have, I was in it every day. And I would challenge him on some things, but he always had an answer. He maybe didn't say anything. He talked a lot, but didn't say anything. But he always had some kind of an answer. I really feel bad here, and this is not like me, because I'll criticize a guy as much as the next guy, maybe more than the next guy. I'll criticize a guy, and I'll bury him. I feel compassion for Gabe because he's kind of locked in this world that he can't get out of. It's just, I wish him the best, but he's got no chance out there. He's got no chance. He's following Bruce Bochy. He's following how many World Series? What do you have? 3 World Series championships under Bochy. He's following a World Series. He's got no shot. But he's got till next year now because of the season that we're in right, or the season that we will be in right now. He is different. You'll get so tired and you'll start laughing at his news conferences after a game. You will start laughing. But I wish him the best. I wish him the best because I know he's a good guy. I just know he's a good guy. But as a manager, no, he's not a good manager.
Now, Howard, we appreciate your honesty. Now, that's the Gabe Kapler over 162 games. Nothing will humble you faster than 162, but 60 games. We were just talking. Do you think he could just have an outer body experience and be the best manager for 60 games? Do you give him that, Howard?
Well, what did he say earlier somewhere in camp or before camp? We got to play every game like it's the World Series. You know, come on, Gabe. It's really important. I said that. I heard it. Got to play every game like, no, stop. I don't need it. I wouldn't need it that fast. I'd have some fun out there with him. I'd have some fun because I already know what's coming, and I would just challenge him every day. And I would challenge him in a news conference, and he'd stare at me, but he'd always have an answer. Again, he didn't say anything most of the time that he really answered the question. But 60 games, the good thing is, and I don't think they've changed this rule, you can't change a pitcher unless he's pitched to 3 batters. I don't think they changed that rule. You have to pitch to at least 3 batters. Otherwise, he's going to have, 16 guys in the bullpen? Or 16 pitchers. Not guys. He's going to have 16 pitchers. So he'll have plenty in the bullpen. But you got to leave him in there for 3 batters. Otherwise, it would be a joke. It would be a joke the way he would change pitchers. A joke. And it's all based on analytics. And now he's got to wait 3 batters, so he's got to dig a little bit deeper. I'm telling you, I would have fun. I would have fun out there just playing. Wow. You're not going to win. Let's put it.
You're getting us fired.
The Giants aren't going to win, and we know they're not. And you guys know they're not going to win.
You never know, Howard. 60 games.
No, they're not winning. We know that.
You know that. Buster Posey, he's not the same player, but still, you're missing him. You're not the same team. You know, you're not going to win. You got no chance, especially in that division. You got zero chance of winning the division. Zero. I'm with Gabe Kapler. The X-fit that I have on Gabe Kapler for winning the division is not very good. All right. I love you, Gabe. Hey, Gabe, if you're listening, I love you. Bye.
Howard Eskin here on BSG on 95.70 Game Sports Radio 94 WIP, of course, the sideline reporter for the Philadelphia Eagles. Howard, you know, I wanted to ask you about Gabe and the players. You know, he goes 80-82 in 2018. Last year, you guys have a bunch of expectations with the addition of Bryce Harper, Reese Hoskins. You got Franco, you got McCutcheon. I know he got hurt, but you guys finish an even 500. How do the players respond to Gabe Kapler? What do the players think of Gabe Kapler when they're walking around that clubhouse and he's trying to make everything organic and he's talking about ice cream and this and that? How do the players feel and respond to Gabe Kapler, Howard?
Don't let me forget to tell you about the ice cream story. You've heard about the ice cream story, right?
Yeah, we have.
We've heard multiple ice cream stories.
He told us in a pregame thing he didn't really spit out the ice cream. That's false. Well, I believe he did spit out the ice cream. So, again, it's too many calories. Likes the taste, but it's too many calories. But nonetheless, do the players like him? They like comfort. Today's players, for the most part, like comfort. It's not like the old days. You got to be tough, you know, and be tough on me because that means you're tough on everybody, and that means we'll do a lot of the things that we're supposed to do. But he's not tough. He put out a curveball machine out there one day. They had trouble hitting a curveball. Well, when you swing, when you worry about launch angle, think of it. I've talked to many baseball people. It's very difficult to hit a breaking ball when you're worried about launch angle because you can't hit the ball as well rather than swing through it. So, but anyway, he put a curveball machine out there. People came in and talked to Bryce Harper that day after after batting practice. He says, "Did you work on the curveball machine?" And he looked at the, he looked at us and he said, "Curveball machine." He says, I didn't even get up there to hit against that curveball," and just kind of shook his head and laughed because Gabe put a curveball machine out there to pitch to the players. So those are the kind of things, but they were comfortable. Let's put it this way. They were, they didn't dislike him, but they liked the comfort level because they knew even if they did something wrong, it would be rare that he would bench them. It would be rare that he disciplined them in any way. But he's got, again, if he's learned, he's got to learn from those things. And he's got to learn, you're going to get fired. You're going to get fired if they don't play. And if you don't push them to do the right things, you're going to get fired sooner. So but maybe he just doesn't worry about that. That they were comfortable with him. And so to answer that question, they were comfortable with Gabe Kapler. Did they like him? You know, if you consider comfort a like, because he kind of let him do what they wanted to do. And that's who he is. But I just, it'd be interesting, man. We're going to follow those games so well here, but we're going to get the sound from your post game news conferences. And I guarantee if at least 4 days a week, we're going to play something from it because you can't get enough of Gabe Kapler. We have a vault full of Gabe Kapler stuff that we still play because it's so hilarious. It is so hilarious.
Hey, Howard, let me ask you about a little bit about the Sixers. Obviously, in the bubble, I saw yesterday their Brett Brown may move Ben Simmons to four. The Sixers have any more or less of a chance in with this scenario?
I don't think so. I just think they only have 3 weeks to practice this new lineup. So you haven't played with this lineup basically at all. No, I think it's Brett Brown, again, a nice guy, but he just says so much BS. About a week and a half ago, he's talking about players and, hey, how's Joel? You know, because everybody worries about Joel Embiid's weight. How's Joel? Oh, he's working so hard. I'm really impressed with him. He's working hard. So then Joel speaks a week later. Hey, Joel, how's your weight? Well, he wouldn't answer the question. And then you ask him again, and he says, my body fat's really good, but all I'm doing is I'm sitting at home. I'm chilling and playing video games. Completely opposite of what Brett Brown said. So he talked about how great Ben Simmons is handling this. The one thing Ben Simmons likes is now he won't have to take a 15-foot jump shot, which he wouldn't do anyway. He was like 30% from 3 to 10 feet. I mean, that's a true number. Last year, or the beginning of this season, 32%, let me get it correct, from 3 to 10 feet, 32%, because he can't shoot a jumper, won't shoot a jumper. So they put him at power forward, so he really doesn't have to do that, and he's the fastest guy on the floor in the NBA. Well, I would beg to differ that he's the fastest guy. He's one of the fastest, but he builds him up trying to stroke him and trying to make him feel good because he knows his dad. He's trying to get Ben to play for him and play. He plays hard, but he doesn't do the things the coach asked. I don't think it's going to have much of an effect, although what it will do, the guard position, you'll have shooters. Where the good thing about Ben Simmons, and I will say this, and this is really a good thing, he taught us socially distancing by the way he played because a defender was 6 feet away from him every time they guarded him.
Pretty good stuff, Howard.
Howard, you probably had
some fun with that. We already knew about socially distancing with Ben Simmons.
Hey, Howard, I got to ask you.
Change anything.
Howard, I need your help, man. It's a pretty heavy question. I don't got to tell you what's going on in the country with, you know, social unrest, you being in Philadelphia, in every city in the States. But I want to ask you about DeSean Jackson. And I know what he said was wrong. It was offensive to the Jewish community. You had Stephen Jackson hone in on it. He made it worse.
Stephen Jackson, by the way, Stephen Jackson is a complete dope and moron. To say, I don't know who Hitler is, and I don't give a bleep. What do you mean you don't know? What's the matter? You don't know how to use Google? You can go on your phone and put out all this other garbage? But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and he had made some progress, but you're not too far off the mark. But I got to ask you this. I'm black, Howard, and I had a friend of mine ask me just the other night, and I didn't have an answer. They said, okay, what's the difference? And I know there are different scenarios with Riley Cooper and how he got the contract after what he did at the concert and how he offended black people and this incident with D-Jax to where they did, you know, kind of reprimand him. Where do you come out on how they treated Jackson, and is it fair to bring up Riley Cooper?
Well, I'll answer the last part of that first. I don't think it's fair to bring up Riley Cooper. Different time. We didn't have all this social unrest back then. They're both indefensible. You can't even begin to start how indefensible they are. In the new contract, it was a year. It wasn't immediately right after that. They suspended him. They disciplined him. That's why they couldn't cut DeSean Jackson. But it was a different time. And again, let me make it clear: they're both indefensible. But Riley Cooper didn't put that out intentionally to the public. DeSean Jackson put it out intentionally to the public. He had three apologies. And then the third one, which he didn't even write, but that's all right. He put his name to it. And then he made a mistake when a guy told him he was right, the voice's opinion, and then he liked that post the next day. So I think it's different times. Again, both of them, totally indefensible. But I will say this, and again, I'm not defending anything that Riley Cooper did in that situation. He had a teammate, Michael Vick, who was the leader of the team because he was the quarterback. And I was standing there at that news conference and defend Riley Cooper because he didn't believe he was that kind of guy. Did you hear any Eagles players defend DeSean Jackson? Malik Jackson said he respected Farrakhan, which is another asinine, stupid comment or post, in which he took down the post. So, but there was no defense. And then Malcolm Jenkins goes through this. Malcolm Jenkins is an idiot for saying Jews are not our problem and we're not their problem. Wait a minute, we're in this together. We're in this together. So it was a compounding of problems. But I don't like it, and people in Philadelphia do the same thing you're doing, comparing Riley Cooper to DeSean Jackson. Indefensible for both. But Riley Cooper didn't put that out publicly, and he was wasted. Doesn't take away from what he did. He was at a concert. He was wasted. Doesn't take away. I won't defend Riley Cooper. Not a little. And please don't assume what I'm doing is defending him. But it's a different time, and I think really two different, because of the timing of both, two different situations. So neither one of them are. And that's not the real issue. The real issue is DeSean's got to understand how offensive what he did was, and had to clean it up multiple times. And that's what we just have to understand. You know, obviously I'm white and I'm Jewish, but I just think, well, what are you doing? I'm not offended because I'm a Jewish person. I'm offended because he was stupid. I don't think he's anti-Semitic. I just think DeSean, and I got along with DeSean since he's come into the league. It's just stupid. But we are in this together. You, my brother, and I'm your brother. And we want to be in this thing together. And that's why we can't start looking at other things that try to make some kind of rationale for what's happened. DeSean Jackson didn't get cut, and the owner's Jewish, and he had a tough time. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But it's okay. He got fined. Hopefully he understands. But let's be in this thing together. I mean, that's what we got to do, and not look at other things. Well, this guy did this, and that guy did this. Let's move forward rather than backward, understanding what's been behind us. That's kind of the way I look at it. And that's what I tweeted at Malcolm Jenkins, and he didn't say anything back to me, which I know he saw it, that we are all in this, not just we shouldn't separate one side from the other, because you should understand other people's pain, and I understand the African-American or black man or colored man. I don't know. Some people use different phrases. Whatever it is, I understand it. And I'm sensitive to the issue, and that's what we all have to be. Is that an explanation? I don't know if that yes. answered your question.
Hey, give Howard, before we let you go, give the Giants fans give the Giants fans some optimism for this year with Gabe Kapler at the helm.
It'll be a laugh fest after each news conference. You won't win. You're not going to win anything, but at least you'll have some humor while you're not winning. So it'll be a laugh. Is that some uplifting stuff for Giants fans?
Absolutely.
Dave's a nice guy, and I'll say this. He's a philanthropic guy. And I'm not going to do it this year because I can't believe we're going to have it. There's a bike ride for autism for the Eagles.
Yeah.
In 2 years, I've raised close to $300,000. I don't know how I did it. Mike Trout donated $2,700 because of his number. I did it every year, and I know Mike because he grew up in the area, and I know his family. Kobe Bryant, $2,408 for the may he rest in peace for his two numbers. But there was just people, and I did all those things. But Gabe also made a very sizable donation to my bike ride, and that's a good guy. He didn't have to do it, as I said. Hey, right. Gabe, you know, I mean, he knew about it. Yeah, just get a hold of my I don't know if it was a PR person. And sure enough, he donated both years. He donated wow. both years. So as far as that, and I said, I want to auction off an item. Since you spit out your ice cream, I don't spit it out. I said, since you spit out your ice cream, can we do an ice cream party with people, and I'll have an auction and ice cream with Gabe Kapler. Watch him spit it out. And he said, yeah, I'd be happy to do it. So, you know, wow. it's just so ask him about ice cream.
Hey, Howard, man, this was a lot of fun, man. We'll definitely laugh at Gabe Kapler because we don't have the Warriors going to the bubble, so we'll need something to laugh about in the month of August before football gets cranking up. And by the way, football season, if we do have one, I know the Eagles are coming out here to the Bay Area, I believe week 4 or 5, so we'd love to have you back on once you come back to the Bay
and the Eagles and Niners play. Baseball announcers are not traveling. I wonder if the football announcers will be traveling. And I'd love to come out there. I'm friends with the very good friends with their PR guy. I'm friendly with John Lynch, who I think is a terrific guy and a wonderful, I mean, terrific general manager. I am so impressed with what he's done, just jumping right out. And from, you know, he's a football guy, but done a really good job. So I like the 49ers. I'm still mad at Kyle Shanahan for screwing up Matt Ryan's Super Bowl. But nonetheless, because Matt Ryan is from this area and I'm friends with Matt's family and Matt, and that was his Super Bowl until Kyle Shanahan went crazy trying to call plays when you had the game won.
Wow.
But other than that, it's a wonderful area and I like it, and I like a lot of the people out there. And Gabe, I really love you, Gabe. I really love you. But.
Hey, Howard, we could talk all day about Shanahan and that Super Bowl because I beg to differ. I never seen a coordinator get so much blame for a Super Bowl loss, and we just skip over the head coach who's a defensive mind.
Right.
But that's for another conversation, Howard. We got to run.
You're on the 21. Just take the field goal, okay? Just take the field goal.
Howard Eskin, thanks so much, man. We got to do this again soon. Have a good one, man, and all stay right. safe.
Stay safe. Everybody stay safe.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team?
Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.